Welcome to the Inside College Soccer Podcast, bringing together some of the best college soccer-related people to your earbuds, from coaches to players and beyond. So, thank you for tuning in. The Inside College Soccer Podcast is brought to you by Sports Recruiting USA, the college soccer experts. Now, enjoy the show.
Well, hey, Mitchell, how are you?
I'm doing well, Don. Yourself?
Good, good. So this is good to have you on. You're one of our staff members that we're trying to get onto our podcast. I thought that our Inside College Soccer audience would be happy to hear from the staff, so they can meet the staff and hear who the staff are and hear about your experiences. So I think the first thing that people will probably notice about you is that you don't have you don't have an American accent.
Yeah. So thanks for having me on. I'm excited to be here. So as you can tell by the funny accent, I was born in Middlesbrough, England. My family are all from England. Everyone but my parents and my brother still lives over in England currently. I actually have a background in soccer all throughout my entire family. My grandfather played professionally back in England. He played for Swindon Town, Norwich City, a few other clubs. Biggest thing I can say for him is he won the League Cup with Swindon Town. 1969, he beat Arsenal 4-2 in the final. So that's a big thing we like to talk a lot about in our family.
That's a big deal. I mean, playing professionally and those are all, you know, the clubs that he played for weren't small and still aren't small clubs.
That's a big deal. It was nice. My dad was able to get the experience of being a kid of a professional footballer and moving all around the country and things. The stories are fantastic of his playing days. Sometimes he went over to Italy one time to play against Juventus and Inter Milan and things like that. And some of the stories of when he was over in Italy are fantastic. So my grandfather played professionally. My dad played semi-professionally. And then we always like to say that it skipped a generation, the soccer talent, and skipped my brother and came straight to me. So I played all growing up. Moved over here in 2008, towards the start of 2009 with my family.
Before you go on to that, tell us about your experience growing up in England and playing. So what system were you playing in? When I first started playing,
my parents have got pictures of me from when I was 2 years old. As soon as I could start walking, I started kicking a ball. It's similar set up to the American system in England. There is smaller clubs and then there's academy clubs as well. I played for my local team called Tibbs up in the northeast of England for a few years. Me and my two best friends that I went to school with, called Harry and Liam, all got invited to try out for Sunderland, Middlesbrough and Newcastle, all of their academies. So we ended up there. Me and Harry ended up at Middlesbrough and Liam ended up at Sunderland because he was a Sunderland fan, so there was nothing taking that away from him. I really enjoyed it. I wasn't there for too long before I moved over to America, but I really, really enjoyed my time there. Able to get the experience of a professional academy, and you got to see the first team players in training. You'd be walking to training and they'd just be finishing and things like that. It was really cool. You know, I was only a 10-year-old kid maybe at this time. And for me to be able to see my heroes day in, day out, and be able to talk to them and sometimes eat in the same cafeteria as them, it was fantastic. I loved every second of it.
So when you were younger, and then did you guys as a family moved over to the US after that?
Yeah, we did. So my dad works in oil and gas, worked at a refinery up in the northeast of England, and that refinery shut down. We had the opportunity to come over to America. And my parents thought, why not? It's a great place, lots of opportunities. And the area we were from in England, there was more opportunities over here than there would be in England. So we made the move to America. It'll be coming up on 15, 16 years now. And my life's over here now. This is my home.
So where did you guys end up settling here in the U.S.?
So originally when we were supposed to come over, we came over with a company called Honeywell. We were supposed to head over to Phoenix, Arizona, had a house and everything planned there. And then about a month and a half, 2 months before we made the move to Phoenix, Honeywell let us know that they were relocating to Atlanta. So we ended up in Atlanta, lived in Alpharetta, just outside of the city, about 40 minutes. And I spent most of my life there, growing up all the way until I went off to college. And I played for the local club UFA, played for Concord Fire, played for my high school for a couple of years. And to be honest, a lot of my family, for the first couple of years, we were all very skeptical if we'd make the move to America work and if it'd be a long-term thing. But after a few years, we very quickly realized that this was home, and none of us have any plans of moving back anytime soon.
And so what, on the soccer end of it, what, maybe you were too young to really notice the differences. Did your dad talk about the differences in soccer that he saw here in the US versus growing up in England, or what differences did you notice?
Yeah, I was definitely young, so I didn't notice too many, but my dad was actually my coach for my first 2 years when I first moved here. So that was, it was nice that I had someone familiar while I was still getting adjusted to the environment. But he definitely was able to notice some differences. Speed of play was one thing, even at that age. The ball moved a lot faster in England than it did over here when I first moved over here. And just general love for the game. Every single kid in England, it was all you thought about. You eat, slept, drank soccer, and that was everything. You'd wake up and that'd be the first thing you wanted to do, and it'd be the last thing you did before you went to bed. So that was a big thing, is every single kid in England wanted to be the best. They wanted to be the next Harry Kane. So you were competing against every single kid in school, where over here you'd only maybe have a handful of kids who were interested in taking soccer to the max that they could and their best potential. But to be honest, it's been a really, really good tool for me in experiencing the two different sides of it, and being able to get the experience of experiencing a professional academy in England, but then also being able to see, okay, I came over to America and it's a little bit different. How can I adapt to make sure that I'm still doing the best that I can in this new environment?
Yeah, no, that, and that's, having visited South America and Colombia and Argentina, and then having visited Spain and England, and that is the main difference. And, is that it is, soccer, the passion in those countries, in most of the world, and not so much here in the US. It's funny because, Mitch, because our soccer community is really smaller than most people realize, even though the country is unbelievably massive. And our community fools itself into thinking that soccer is a growing, well, I mean, it is growing. Believe me, if I could tell you stories about when I was growing up and how small it was, but that it's a massive sport. Right. And our community can fool itself into it. It's like, no, me and my kids, we go to MLS Next games and we go to NWSL games and we go to college games. Yeah, your family's into it. But ask Joe Sixpack in the middle of the country if they're into it, and they'll go, what is it? I don't understand it. And that's still 80% of the country.
It is. And to be honest, it's grown a lot in the time that I've been over here. It's still got a long, long way to go to get anywhere near a lot of the rest of the world, but in the time that I've been over here, the growth that I've seen has been incredible. There is still a long, long way to go, but I mean, when I first came over here, the club that I played for, I believe we had maybe 150 200 kids playing for them. And I was actually speaking to my coach the other day, and he said they're close to 4,000 or 5,000 kids every year now. And they're just one of a handful of clubs in the Atlanta area that are around that size. So it's definitely a growing sport. It's got a long way to go to catch up to the rest of the world, but it's nice seeing how much it has grown in the short amount of time that I've been here.
I love hearing that from you. And I feel like I come across with the negativity sometimes. And I know a lot of, especially older guys do. We get weary of everybody saying, oh, it's going to grow. And then 15 years later, it hasn't grown much. And then it's going to grow. And then 15 years later, it hasn't grown much. I've been at this, you know, over 30 years now. But you're right. In the last 15 years, if we look at it objectively, it has grown a lot since you've been here.
It has, and it's nice to see, and it makes it a lot easier for me as well. One of the things I first struggled with coming over here was building kind of the friendship groups that I had back in England. You had in England, the only thing you would talk about was what Premier League games you watched this weekend, or did you watch
Right.
the Championship playoff last weekend, or something like that. And that was the only thing you really had to talk to your friends about. Over here, me trying to. I go into school and I've been watching all the Premier League games all weekend, and I ask my friends, did you watch any of them? And they look at me as if I've got three eyes, and then they say, what's the Premier League? So it's definitely nice to know that it's growing, and it makes it a lot easier, and you can build the friendships, and you can build those relationships with people through the sport, which is a really great tool to have.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. So, okay, so you were growing up in the youth system. At what point did you start hearing about or thinking about co college soccer? Or were you still thinking professionally? What was your mindset when you were 13, 14, 15, getting into those teenage years?
To be honest, I've always it's always been my mindset to take the game as possible as far as I could possibly could take it. Whether that's playing myself or whether that was coaching, I've always wanted to stay involved in the game because it's been my life for I'm 23 now, it's been my life for all 23 years. So I always wanted to stay involved in the game as much as I possibly could. When I turned 13, 14, that's when me and my dad started talking about the dream of going to play in college. It was something that I always wanted to do and then explore my options after college. My parents always wanted me to have a degree to fall back on just in case things didn't go right. And, it's a smart thing to have. It's something that I can no one can ever take away from me, and it's something that separates me from other people maybe. But the college dream was always something of mine since I was maybe 13, 14. My dad and I've been through the recruitment process, both as a freshman, doing it myself, and then also as a transfer. And I actually used SRUSA, when I was leaving. But me and my dad went through the process myself, when I was in high school, going about emailing different colleges, going to different ID camps, letting people know my schedule when I was at tournaments and things like that. I was really lucky that my dad was able to help me with that. He spent a lot of time involved in the game himself, so he knew how to talk and how to get my story across to coaches. Thankfully, I was able to accomplish that college dream. I went to play D2, which is now shut down, unfortunately, Limestone. I spent 2 years there and absolutely loved it. Some of the best times of my life. I made friends for life. I still talk to those guys pretty much every single day. We have a group chat that we text in almost every single day, and there's always memories of Limestone and different pictures and videos going in there, and it's really, really nice to have. I always say to my parents, I may not know who I'm marrying yet, but I know who my best men are.
Wow.
Those guys are incredible. We made a bond for life very quickly when we went in. The good thing about Limestone, it's a really, really small town, Gaffney, South Carolina, kind of in the middle of nowhere. But the relationships and the people that were there made it one of the best places in the world. There was about 20 of us who all went in at the same time, different ages, but we all went in, whether it was going in as a transfer student or going in as a true freshman. And within the space of 2 weeks, we were all best friends. That made my college transition a lot easier with that group of people. And Limestone is something that I hold close to my heart, and it's sad to see that it's shut down, but I'll hold the memories forever.
Yeah, we us in the soccer coaching community were really sad to see it shut down because it had become a quality program, especially on the men's side.
They were always a strong program. When Coach Eric was there, he did a fantastic job, and he was there for a long, long time and really set the foundations for everyone else in the future. Coach Ali did an amazing job bringing in some fantastic players and took them really to the next level. I actually went back up 2 years ago. Some of my friends were still playing for them when they were in the region final against Florida Tech. A couple of our friends had actually transferred to Florida Tech, so it was a meeting of old friends. So drove up to go watch it, got to be a part of the atmosphere and be in the changing rooms with the boys for a few minutes and get to hear all the pre-match talks and be around all the boys as all that was building up. So it was really, really cool, especially being around it when it was getting towards the tail end of the national season, seeing the high level players and the tactics and just all what went into it and the amount of work that it took to get to that level.
So just in general, as a freshman, what was your freshman experience like? Was it what you expected? Did you get everything out of it? Was there disappointments in it? What was your freshman year like?
So I went into it. My freshman year was COVID year. So I had a really strange experience. My freshman year, they pushed our season back. What is usually a fall season, we played a shortened spring season. So we all went in the fall, under the impression that we were still playing originally. And within about a month, they told us that they were pushing the season back to the spring. We kept training, and it was a strange but enjoyable atmosphere. It was strange that we were still training 3 days a week, but we weren't really playing any games. But because we were able to push the season back, it kind of gave everyone a semester to get to know each other. So that semester, we spent an awful lot of time together as a team, really grew that bond. And by the time the spring came around, we were all brothers on and off the field and willing to do whatever it took. My freshman year didn't quite go as I expected it to with COVID and with the spring season. I actually ended up getting COVID in the spring season, which took me out of training and games and things. It was a time that you had to kind of adapt to. Nobody really knew what was going on. Nobody knew what to expect. You just had to take things day by day. It opened my eyes a lot to people aren't going to baby you. People aren't going to hold your hand step by step. You had to do everything yourself. And if you didn't do it, it didn't get done. So it was a big eye opener, being able to go in and experience that college atmosphere, especially a good program like Limestone. Everyone was pushing each other and there was expectations on the entire team and the coach before the start of the season of, you're supposed to win this many games and go this far in the tournament. And if we didn't, then it was a disappointing season. So it was a true professional environment where results mattered. Each day of training mattered and you had to fight for everything day in, day out. Nothing was guaranteed. Looking back on it, I enjoyed it. In the moment, it was probably very overwhelming for me.
Yeah, I think that's, to be honest, your experience is pretty standard. Most, you know, having coached in college for 22 years myself, I will say that I noticed that most freshmen were overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. Very few came in like it was second nature. And if they did, it was because they were older. They had taken a gap year or maybe a year or two off, had gone into the military before. Something, you know, something had gone on in their life to beat that maturity into them, right?
Yeah.
But coming in as an 18-year-old and asking an 18-year-old to comprehend, A, living on their own, B, like you said, being responsible for themselves, C, having to compete against older players, you know, some of them 22, 23, depending on, you know, the year and what that player, those players had gone through before, is a difficult thing to ask of an 18-year-old.
Yeah, it was definitely a shock. Like you say, I know, you know, some of these kids are older. We actually had a 31-year-old playing central midfield for us, who was a graduate student. Really, really nice guy, and I've kept in touch with him, but you know, going in as an 18-year-old, I'm expecting to compete against 22, 23-year-olds. And I'm thinking, okay, it's going to be a challenge, but they're not too much older than me. And then I rock up on the first day and this guy tells me he's 31. And I'm thinking, oh, that's a bit different. So it's definitely a shock. And it's definitely very overwhelming. But it's something that, like you say, does beat the maturity into you. And you have to grow up very quickly. That's one thing that I will definitely say helped me in the long run is the fact that I went in to an entire new environment. I was 4 hours away from my parents. I didn't know anyone in the area. So it made me grow up very, very quickly and make sure that if something needed to get done, I had to do it. Another thing that it also made me realize was I always was kind of a kid who would do maybe an extra training session a week or one gym session extra a week. In college, I very quickly realized that that one extra session needed to turn into three or four extra sessions a week to just be able to compete. It's a completely different change of environment, a change of pace of the game. People are faster, more physical. They know the game more, they're smarter, they're more technical. So you truly have to put in a lot of work to be able to compete, especially if you go to these, like Limestone is or was a higher level program where you're going to
Right.
have a lot of these kids coming over from Europe and from the former academies. They've been in that environment for the last 5 or 6 years. You've got to get up to speed with it very, very quickly, or you get left behind.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So how so so you get through your freshman year, that COVID year. Yeah, I remember how weird that was for everybody. How did it transition into you making a decision about or thinking about transferring?
So I stuck around Limestone my sophomore year. I stuck around. It was a little bit more of a normal season. We were back to playing and training in the fall, and then a spring season. I wasn't playing as many minutes as I hoped I would. One of the biggest things that I wanted to do in college was just go play. It didn't really bother me where I went. I just wanted to go play minutes. I wanted to continue playing. I've always been the type of player that it takes me 2, 3 games to get going. If I can play 2 or 3 games, then after those 2 or 3 games, I'll be a completely different player than I was at the start of the season. At Limestone, I never really got the chance to play those 2 or 3 games consistently, which really didn't do well for me, and it affected me not just physically and on the field, but mentally as well. With football being such a big part of my game, part of my life, and I wasn't playing, it was a struggle for me. It came about the spring season. A lot of our teammates who weren't getting the minutes that they wanted were also looking at transferring. So it became a decision of, one, I wasn't getting as many minutes as I wanted, and two, I didn't truly think that Limestone was going to be the same place it had been for the last 2 years. That group of 20 kids or so that we all came in around the same time, I think there was 15 or 16 of us who were all leaving in the same year. So that was part of my decision, but also I wanted to go play. I knew that I'd have to maybe not be at a D2, maybe not be at a powerhouse school. I just wanted to go play. So I had the conversation with my coach, told him that I wanted to go play and wanted to explore my options, and he let me go. I entered the transfer portal, and for the first 2 weeks, I tried to tackle it by myself. Struggled, wasn't really getting too many replies from coaches on emails, wasn't getting too much interest. And that's when I contacted SRUSA, working with Reese. Me and Reese worked together, and I had a few different offers of places. I ended up transferring up to a school called Thomas More. They're now a D2. When I went there, they were an NAIA. But that allowed me to explore other options, play a little bit more, and also challenge myself in a new environment, new players, new coach, new surrounding area, and just be able to see how I would able to be able to adapt. So that was my transfer story. It's definitely it's nice to have the experience of experiencing the college recruitment by myself and also with our SRUSA. It's completely
What was the
changed.
difference that you noticed with having gone through it, like you said, first by yourself and then with somebody by your side helping you make connections, helping you, walking you through it? What was the difference?
The biggest difference was response time. When I was working with SRUSA, I would have a response from a coach almost within the day. And we'd be able to set up a phone call to speak further, and explore next steps. When I was reaching out by myself, it would sometimes take 2 or 3 emails over the course of 2 or 3 weeks before I even got a reply from them. Sometimes I would only then get a reply, and it would be, I'd like to invite you to our ID camp. So I was able to get through to coaches a lot quicker, with SRUSA by my side. I also was able to explore maybe different options that I wouldn't have known about. There were schools that I didn't even know existed, that Reese put me in contact with, and I had phone conversations with, areas of the country that I probably never would have thought about myself. But then once my eyes were open to this is the school and this is the surrounding area, it was, I ended up in Cincinnati. It probably wasn't a place I would have looked at if I was by myself, but with SRUSA and with Reese, it opened up different avenues. Another thing was just kind of how much the coach believed in you. With the SRUSA branding, I felt like I didn't have to prove myself to the coach. They knew that with SRUSA player that it was going to be of a certain level. They trusted the Reese that worked with them. And I didn't have to take that initial step of telling my background and this is what I do, this is what I'm about. I need to prove myself to this coach when I was doing it myself. With SRUSA, I had that SRUSA branding. And that was a huge thing. Coaches trusted Reese's word and you didn't have to do quite as much work.
Yeah, I mean, people, a couple of things you said there really resonate as with all the hundreds of clients that I've dealt with and that we've dealt with as a company. It's thousands. A, people don't realize that, on the men's side, there's over 1,300 schools, and that's like we can't even track all of them, to be honest. And there's on the women's side, there's over 1,600. It's really hard to keep track of, what division they're in, how the school did, what their record was, and who the coaches are, who the coaching staff is. But that's what I like about SRUSA as a company is that, like Reese, no surprise that you ended up in Cincinnati. Reese is an Ohio specialist. I mean, he went to school there at Tiffin, and then he coached in Ohio, and so he knows a lot of coaches there. So it's kind of no surprise that that was one of the areas. But where it's not my area, my area of specialty tends to be the West Coast. And although you create relationships all over the country eventually doing this job, but man, it's a big task for a family and a player to try to know who all of the contacts are all over the country. It's crazy.
Another thing that I saw was a huge difference is the coaches, when I would be emailing by myself, it took, like I said, two, three, sometimes even four or five emails to get a reply from a coach. And at that point, a lot of it would just be invite you to the ID camp. As soon as I started working with SRUSA, you kind of went to the top of the coaches, list. I had replies pretty quickly, and those replies were a lot more personable, directed towards me, or it was setting up a phone call. It just made the entire process a lot faster and a lot smoother.
Yeah, and a lot of the reason for that is that we aren't emailing coaches. We've got their cell phone numbers, and so we're just messaging them in. A typical outreach for us is, are you looking for a center mid? Yes, we are. What do you think of this player? Ooh, I kind of like him. I kind of like him. Would you like me to put you in touch? Yes, please do. And then that's why it happens so quickly. So it's just a completely different low-key conversation that we're having with these coaches, A, finding out what their needs are, and then B, if we have a player that we think fits those needs, introducing them to that player. And it really is no more than that. Yeah. So it's that's good. So you reached out to Reese. Reese was able to help you. You got settled in, and was it a better fit for you as far as being able to finish
It
up your
was
playing
and it
career?
wasn't. I'm not a lover of the cold. So there was some cold days up there.
Yeah,
But
Cincinnati gets cold.
I did enjoy it. I had a good relationship with the coach. We built a good relationship pretty quickly. I made some good friends there, and I was enjoying my football. I played more consistently, and it was more enjoyable for me because I was playing.
Isn't that the way it is for a player, right? In every sport, life just feels better when you get to play.
And being in Cincinnati compared to Gaffney, South Carolina, the life in the surrounding area was a little bit better as well. So I did enjoy it. I ended up finishing up my degree and everything online. I ended up coming down. I live now down in South Georgia. So I ended up coming down and working coaching, and kind of giving back to the next generation, and being able to give everything that I've learned back to the kids that want to learn.
Yeah, what a great thing. I often think about this when I think about my life and my son's life in football. But what a great gift that this sport gives us. You get that somebody likes you gets to experience football, soccer life in England, and then in rural America, very rural, small town, to one of the biggest cities in the United States, Cincinnati, and then settling back home in Georgia. But you think about those life experiences, Mitch.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. It's incredible what the sport has done for me. It's brought me my best friends that I have. It's brought me tons of career opportunities. I'm really just experienced that I would never have if I hadn't have played the sport. Going to all these different cities, traveling for away games and getting to experience the dressing room atmosphere. And, after a win, you all go in and you've got the music playing and you're singing and dancing, all the different experiences with the players and, even some of the bad ones. I remember we were in Indianapolis when I was in Cincinnati once. We traveled there for an away game and our bus ended up breaking down. And usually it'd be a terrible thing, but there was 25 of us on the bus. We had a speaker, and while the mechanic was sat fixing our bus, we're all sat on the side of the road listening to music and having a dance party. And some of the experiences I hold so close to my heart, and I'll be 20, 30 years time, I'll still be remembering them and have a huge smile on my face.
What a gift. Yeah, what a gift that this sport can bring us. It's amazing. So you reached out at some point. You reached out to Reese. I remember Reese contacting me and saying, "Hey," because I remember, I remember every name that comes through. I never met you personally, but I'm the one processing all of the paperwork, and I remember the name came through. And of course, I watched the video of every client that comes through, and I remember watching your video and then following your career and watching your placement, and then getting to see that you were getting minutes was very makes me happy. So I remember the name and the career, but you reached out to Reese, reached out to you. How did that work out? What made you think about working with you at SRUSA?
So I was exploring different opportunities. I was leaving the coaching job that I was at. And I always wanted to stay in the game. And to be honest, the whole college recruitment always interested me. It was always something that intrigued me and wanted it was something that I wanted to learn more about. It's very similar to the whole professional process of contacting different clubs and you're trying to sign different players, different places, and this player might have certain requirements that they want for a school, and this player wants different requirements. So I went ahead, contacted Reese, and I spoke to Reese a little bit about what I was looking to do. And Reese felt like SRUSA would be a good fit. Told me about what you guys do a little bit more because I learned a lot about SRUSA when I worked with them. But it really opened my eyes and it showed me that I was able to stay involved in the game, and kind of be able to do what I wanted, while being having the freedom of still being able to coach. Coaching's something that I really, really enjoy. It's pretty much what I look forward to almost every single day. Being able to be out there on the field and just be involved in the game and teaching these kids the little things and the little coaching moments of being able to get a kid to feel comfortable receiving on the half turn or playing at 1-2 touch, things like that, really mean a lot to me. So speaking to Reese, he felt like it would be a great fit, being able to continue with the coaching, but also during the day I'd be involved in football still, or soccer, whatever you want to call it. I'd still be involved, and I could wake up and I'd be working within soccer. I could go to sleep and I'd be working within soccer. And that was something that absolutely I wanted to do. It's a lot like a religion to a lot of people back in England. And it's always been a religion type of thing for me where I sleep, eat, and breathe it. So being able to be involved in it from waking up to going to sleep, and also involved at all the different ages. I coach kids that are 8-year-olds just learning how to play and the fundamentals. I coach kids that are 17-year-olds getting ready to go off to college. So I see either end of the spectrum. And then involved in SRUSA, I get to see those kids that maybe I coached, maybe I didn't coach them, but see those kids take the next step in their journey into college and follow along their careers after college as well.
Right. And so we, of course, we work in regions here in the United States, and we stuck you with Danny Reynolds on the East Coast, who's in charge of our East Coast team. And Danny's signed and successfully placed literally hundreds of kids in his 4 or 5 years with SRUSA. So nice to have that support structure of
Very
that
much so.
team.
Yeah, very much so. Danny's been a huge help in being able to not only get clients across the line, but how to go about talking to people. A lot of, how you want to word things, talking about what we do and the advantages of signing with SRUSA. Danny's been a huge, huge help. Not just getting people on board, but also getting me involved with everyone else at the company, meeting Kendall and Mason and just having some different text conversations with people and building relationships there. But also being able to, if I don't have a relationship with a coach, maybe Danny does.
Right.
That's something that's a huge bonus for me. With the clients that I've got signed on at the moment, being able to text Danny and just say, "Hey, one of my clients is interested in this school out in the West. I don't know him. Would you happen to know someone that knows him?" And a lot of the time, Danny does have that connection, which just makes my job so much easier.
He's Mr. Personality, man. The guy's, and he's been all over the country, of course, being drafted by Seattle and then having played up in Tacoma and then played in Sacramento and then played on the East Coast. And yeah, no, he knows a lot of people in the industry. That helps. It helps a
It
lot.
does.
And I think that's what I like about us as a team too. And as our team grows, here in in 2018, when I came on board with SRUSA, I was the only guy in the Americas. And so it was just my network and Chris's network, pretty much. And now it's grown to, there's a lot of coaches out there that I don't know that our other staff knows, and vice versa. And I love working as a team like that.
Yeah, it makes the entire process a lot easier when you can work together and tackle each and every kid together as a team rather than as individuals.
So, for the people listening to this, you do have you are just starting with us, so you do have some capacity to take on some more clients. Some
Absolutely,
of
yeah.
our staff has reached a full capacity and really can't manage many more clients, but you do have some capacity, and you're on a great team that can guarantee that these kids are going to get offers and get into conversations with coaches
Yeah,
and see if we
absolutely.
can find the right fit for them. So, how do people get a hold of you if they want to reach out to you, Mitch?
So I'm always available via text. Usually if you text me or anything like that, I'll respond within an hour. Phone calls, emails, anything like that. My cell phone number is 770-910-0292. And my email address is mitchell@srusasoccer.com.
And of course, you can always go to our webpage and read a little bit about Mitchell, and you'll be able to connect with him there also at srusasoccer.com. Well, thanks, Mitch. Thanks for coming on with us, man. This has been fun. I didn't know some of these stories about you and your past, and definitely didn't hear know about your grandfather. That's a really neat story to hear. Of course, the part about beating my Arsenal is not quite as much fun, but no, it's great. What a great experience for your family and for you, getting to hear those stories and be around those stories growing up, and it definitely adds to the passion for the game.
Yep, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you having me on. It's been a pleasure talking to you and getting to know each other. I'm sure we'll have many conversations in the future.
Oh, of course, yeah. Everybody knows we talk regularly, and yeah, we'll talk soon. Well, thanks, everybody. For everybody listening to this, we've got a new service available, gapyearsoccer.com. So go check that out, gapyearsoccer.com. For a lot of players now, it's becoming more popular to take a year off between high school and the beginning of college. I know my own son did it. He spent 2 years in England and a little bit of time in Germany playing, maturing, growing up, and it made a massive difference in his college career and the number of schools that were interested in him, A, and then, but him being able to compete at a much higher level after taking a couple of years out to play in overseas before he started his college career made a big difference. And so we're working with a lot of kids, families, boys and girls, trying to find the right place for them to play in a gap year. And we've got connections in Spain, we've got connections in Germany, connections in England, and then here in the United States for players that are looking to take a year out. So you can go to gapyearsoccer.com, you can apply, you can have a free conversation with our staff and see if we've got somewhere in the world that might be a good place for you or for your child to spend a year before they begin their collegiate career. So again, gapyearsoccer.com, go there, you'll learn all about it. And of course you can always contact me. Are you on social media at all, Mitch?
I am, yeah. I don't know my exact. Give me one second, then I'll
We'll have
find
it. We'll have it. It's okay. We'll have it. We'll get it. We'll put it in the bio of this episode,
Perfect.
in the information. But you can, of course, you can follow Sports Recruiting USA to learn about our new announcements. And we've got some other announcements coming out, for different ways to help families through this process besides just agency representation. So follow SRUSA Soccer. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter, Don underscore K underscore Williams. And it's the same on Insta. And we've also got a Facebook page, College Resources for Parents and Players. So you can join that. So we'll talk to you soon, and we'll see you on our next episode.